Welcome to Life Church Birmingham. We are glad you have listened today. We know God has a plan and purpose for your life and want to help you be successful in Jesus Christ. We know you will receive a message of hope and encouragement.
Come on, if God's done something for you, come on, give him a shout. Come on. Amen. Grab your Bibles, open up to Mark chapter 16. Mark chapter 16 is Resurrection Sunday. Well, maybe you've heard the story about the two little boys, and they're having their special Easter pancake breakfast that Grandma fixes them every year. They've been looking forward to this some time, and the older brother notices there's only three pancakes left. So he says to his younger brother, "You know, I've been thinking, there's three pancakes left. And there's two of us. One of us is going to get one pancake, and one of us is going to get two pancakes." And since it's Easter, the older brother says to the younger brother, "Since it's Easter, I think that we should act like Jesus. Because if Jesus were here, he would share the third pancake. He would take the one pancake and give the second pancake away." And the little brother thought about that for a moment. He thought to himself, "There's three pancakes, two of us. One of us is going to get one of us is going to get two. We need to act like Jesus." He said, "You know, big brother, I think you're right. We need to act like Jesus. I tell you what, I'll take two pancakes. You get one, I'll let you be Jesus." Come on, we got to act like Jesus. Here's the story. Mark chapter 16, when the Sabbath was over, verse 1, Mary Magdalene, Mary mother of Jesus, and Salome brought spices so that they might go anoint Jesus' body. Very early on the first day of the week, just after sunrise, they were on their way to the tomb. And after they asked each other, "Who will roll the stone away from the entrance of the tomb?" But when they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had already been rolled away. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in white, in a white robe, sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. And he said, "Don't be afraid, don't be alarmed," he said. "You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He was crucified. He has risen. He's not here anymore. See the place? Do you see the place where they laid him? But go and tell his disciples and Peter. He's going ahead of you into Galilee. You will see him there, just as he told you." Father, I thank you for the power of the resurrection. I thank you, Jesus, that you have come, that we could have life and life abundantly. I thank you, Jesus, that wherever you're in the house, there's room for a miracle. And so, God, today we ask that you would come in your might and your power. God, that you would help us with the word. Help us to understand what you're saying. Help us to understand what you're trying to communicate to us. Show us, oh God. Show us, oh God. Open our hearts to receive all that you have for us. In Christ's name, amen. The most powerful story in the history of the universe. The most monumental event in history. The birth, death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Why would someone do that? Why would someone go through all of that? What kind of people did Jesus die for? The scriptures lay out a story woven within the story. I want to identify four kinds of people that Jesus died for. Four kinds of people that Jesus died for, And if you're a note taker, I think it'd be great if you took some notes. Here it is, number one. Jesus died for the weak. Jesus died for the weak. Have you ever blown it? You ever messed it up? I mean, just royally just messed it up. Sergeant Vernon opened the door, and it was clear on his face that there was a problem. I remember sitting in a big green box in a valley in West Virginia, and we were attempting to communicate to our A-teams in El Salvador through FM transmission. And Sergeant Vernon opens the door, and he's just staring at us. And we're like, what's going on? And he said, we have a problem. Now, when a superior in the military says, we have a problem, that usually means you have a problem. That's what that usually means. We have a problem. I had been given the opportunity to serve as shift commander for the first time, shift leader. I'd been promoted past private to the rank of E4. Not a sergeant, but not a private. I had a little bit of power, not much, and I was welding it. And we were talking to our A-teams in El Salvador. He walks in, and he says, here's the problem. The Pentagon just shut us down. So I don't know if you know this, but if you transmit, you get your frequencies from the Air Force and the Pentagon overseas, all that. The Pentagon just shut us down. I'm like, how? I'm thinking, how dare they do that? Sergeant Vernon, why did the Pentagon shut us down? Oh, I'll tell you why the Pentagon shut us down. Because there's a C-130 aircraft flying over Texas that just received your message. What? Oh, yeah. We're operating in the clear. Nothing's encrypted. And someone's going to burn for this. And so he starts like, well... He gets over to the one little red button amongst all the little buttons, and he flips the thing up and looks at it. He goes, ha ha, look at that. Off. How about next time you guys transmit to our A teams in a foreign country that you hit the on button for the encryption device? So the Pentagon's given us 48 hours to straighten out our mess, and you guys are going to straighten it out. Well, it was obvious in the conversation that I had messed up. And the entire 3rd Battalion had been shut down because someone forgot to flip the encryption switch so that you won't operate in the clear. Now, I could look back on that and sort of laugh. It's funny now. Now it's funny. But sometimes we look back at our life and we remember the times we messed up, and it is painful. It's hurtful. And there's a guy named Peter in the Bible. Remember what the angel just said? Go tell his disciples and Peter. So Peter, you could make the argument that Peter was on the inside, right? That he'd been with Jesus. Scripture tells us he walked on water with Christ. He'd been part of the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000. He broke the bread that Jesus gave, and the baskets kept increasing. He witnessed firsthand the miracles. Peter was the kind of guy, here's what we learned in our men's small group this week. Peter was the kind of guy who acted first and thought about it later. You ever, anybody? Kind of impulsive at times. Quick to act, slow to think. So the scene is when they're in the upper room. It's the Last Supper, as we know it. Jesus had fed them. He tells them that he is the bread and the wine. He's trying to set the groundwork for the crucifixion, but they can't hear it. Like, they can't even go there. He washes their feet. Remember, maybe you know that story. He washes all their feet, including the feet of Judas, Judas storms out of the room to go to betray Jesus. They're witnessing all this. They get up, all now 12 of them, 11 disciples plus Jesus, Judas is gone, and they go to the Mount of Olives. Jesus tells them, Peter, on this very night, you will fall away on account of me. But after I've risen, I'll go ahead of you in Galilee. Peter says, Lord, what are you talking about? Even if everyone falls away on account of you, I'm not going to do it. He said, oh, yeah, you will. Truly, I tell you, this very night before the rooster crows, you'll disown me, not once, not twice, but three times. Peter says, no, even if I have to die with you, Jesus, I'll never disown you. And all the other disciples are like, yeah, what he said. We're not going to do it, Jesus. The guards come storming in. Judas identifies Jesus with a kiss. The guards arrest Jesus. Peter, remembering the words he just heard, he's like, I'm not going down without a fight, right? Grabs a sword. Not sure where he got it exactly. Maybe took it from the Romans. We don't know. And he starts swinging and takes an ear off. And he's like, yeah, I'm going down denying you, Jesus. Jesus rebukes him and said, you live by this thing, you die by this thing. This is not the kind of kingdom I'm going to build. And to the shock of everyone, Jesus reaches down to the ground, picks the ear up, and reattaches it to the guy's head. Can you imagine the scene? They haul him away now. He's arrested. Now fear sets in. They're confused. Peter's rethinking his entire life. They arrest Jesus, and things start going downhill fast, so it seems. Luke 22, verse 60 says this. You've been with Jesus. Peter says, no, man, I don't even know what you're talking about. Jesus, who's Jesus? Just as he was speaking, the rooster crowed. There it is. The Lord turned and looked straight at Peter. So apparently, in all the shuffle, they were at least could make eye contact. At Jesus' biggest point of need, the one with the loudest mouth hangs him out to dry. Jesus looks at Peter. Then Peter remembered. He remembered what the Lord has spoken. Before the rooster crows today, you'll disown me three times. And he went out and he wept bitterly. What a horrible feeling, right? What a horrible feeling when you mess it up. What a horrible feeling when you blow it. You know what you should do, but you don't. Peter knew what he should have done, but in the moment he didn't. Oh, isn't that the plight of sinful humanity? Isn't that our plague? We know better. We just don't always do it right. The Bible calls it sin, that we're separated from God because of our sin. And the Apostle Paul struggled with the same thing that Peter struggled with. And he writes in Romans 7:21, here's what he says to us. So I find this law at work. Although I want to do good, evil is right there with me. Can anybody identify with that? For in my inner being, I delight in God's law, but I see another law at work in me, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work in me. What a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body that is subject to death? And here's the good news. Here's the power of the resurrection. Thanks be to God who delivers me through Christ Jesus, our Lord. You ever blown it? Man, you need grace. You need grace. The power of the empty tomb is this. Jesus died, was crucified, but he defeated death, therefore paying the penalty so that when this law is at work in this law that rages against us, the law of sin that we're born into, there's something greater available to us. The Bible says, greater is he that's within the believer than he that's in the world. So there's a greater power at work than the law of sin. The greater power is the power of the resurrection. It's the grace of God. The kind of people that Jesus died for, he died for the weak. So Wednesday night, in prayer, I got permission from the family to tell the story. There's a couple in our church. In prayer, she reminded everyone the story of the birth of her kids. She had twins, and she said, I walked in one day as a relatively new mom. They could crawl around now, walk a little bit. They got into the bathroom and found the toilet paper, and they were baptizing all the rolls in the commode. Oh, that's a lot of fun if you're like two, right? Like, that's awesome. And they're just making a slop. It's party time. I mean, look at all this entertainment, man. Oh, if you dunk it, it gets bigger than you can. And there's a mess. Mama walks in and she says, oh my word, what do we have here? And she says, what occurred to me in that moment was I feel like the Lord said to me, that's you, Lisa. You're a mess, but you're mine. You're a mess, but you're mine. See, here's the backstory. The backstory helps understand the current story. The backstory is this: that couple had a hard time conceiving. And a lot of frustration, a lot of tears, a lot of heartache. And then conception takes place. And she finds out, I got twins coming. Woo! Check the accountant. We got two of them coming. And that creates some dilemmas in the body. And she had been put on bed rest. And then they're born premature. And it was, you know, touch and go. It was a little scary. And NICU, neonatal ICU, and all this stuff, right? All this stuff. It tore her body up. When you understand the price that was paid for them to be mine, you can understand the grace that is extended when there's a mess. Do you see what I'm saying? And Jesus paid the ultimate price so that you could be his. And when he sees your mess ups, what he gives us is opportunity for grace. He looks down on you and says, oh, what a mess you are, but you're my mess, and I paid a price for you. I came to redeem you, to save you. Jesus died for the weak. Jesus died for the weak. If you're a mess, you're a candidate for God's grace. Jesus worked very hard to get you, and you are his. I just want to tell you that for some of you, today's your comeback day. For some of you, today's your comeback day. Today's your resurrection day. Today's your day of victory. Today's the day that you lay down your life and said, Jesus, I surrender to you. Jesus died for the weak, number two. Jesus died for the harassed and the helpless. For the harassed and the helpless. So here's the story. Jesus is now arrested. He's being tried for some trumped up charges in a kangaroo court, held in a cell overnight. Sunrise comes, and they go right to court. Proceeds pretty quickly. Goes to the Roman authorities, and now he's before Pilate. He's the governor, Pilate. The governor asks Jesus, are you the king of the Jews? Jesus said, you have said so. The chief priests and the elders, help us understand this. The religious hierarchy of the day had missed the very promised Messiah. They were so consumed with details and things that didn't really have eternal consequences that they missed the Messiah. They had become cynical and prideful and arrogant and full of, ugh. So they're going to the Romans and saying, this guy is a problem. Take care of him. And all of a sudden, the Romans say, okay, what do we do with this guy? Rome didn't want him crucified. Rome didn't want him punished. They found no fault in him. So Pilate says, I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll get a vile criminal. And we'll say, hey, I'll give you a choice. You can release Barabbas or you can release Jesus. Up to you. And he's thinking, well, I got that one, right? And the crowd says, give us Barabbas. Destroy Jesus. He's in shock. He's in awe. How in the world does that happen? To work a crowd up to rage. Here's the key, Matthew 27:20. Here's what it says. Now the chief priests and the elders persuaded the crowd to ask for Barabbas and destroy Jesus. The loudest voices were the wicked ones. Those who had power used it to oppose Christ, to oppose the gospel. They wanted Jesus destroyed, whatever it took. And fear and intimidation were used as a weapon to silence, listen, those who knew Jesus. Well, where is his disciples? Where are all the people that got healed? Where are those folks? Those in authority persuaded the people to ask for Barabbas. This makes me want to get in line with Peter and fight. You know what I'm saying? Like, come on. Y'all crazy. This ridiculous. Who would oppose the gospel message? Those who were persuaded to do so. Jesus saw the crowd a little differently. He saw the crowd, and here's what Jesus said in Matthew 9:36. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. So Jesus sees the same bunch that's yelling, crucify him. He sees the same bunch a few verses earlier, and he says, they're harassed and helpless like a sheep without a shepherd. In other words, where are the leaders? Where are those who know better? Where are those who should be, listen, speaking up for what is right? Where are those who should be speaking up for truth? Where are those who should be protecting? Where are those who should be? Those who should have been leading them dropped out, quit, forsook their responsibilities, and became self-serving, egotistical, prideful, and most of all, blind. It was the blind leading the blind. Maybe that's you. Maybe that's you. Maybe you have done this to someone or a group of people. Maybe you have persuaded someone away from loving Jesus with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength. Maybe you're the product of that. Maybe you grew up in a home that was in opposition to the gospel for whatever reason. Maybe you had people in your life who were cynical, self-serving, would say things like, you don't need to get so caught up in all that. You don't You don't need to get so worked up about that. Anytime you obey the commandments of God, there will be opposition to your follow-through of obedience. Jesus died for the harassed and the helpless. Maybe no one's ever told you, maybe you're here today and no one has ever demonstrated to you what it means to follow Christ. Maybe you're like the crowd, like you didn't see anybody that was doing it right. The ones you looked to were a letdown. Therefore, this thing can't be true. Maybe that's you. Maybe you were led that way. Maybe you have been manipulated or deceived. So here we go. There's Peter, right? Cutting ears off. I'm not going to deny you. We're not right, guys. None of us are. Miss a few hours of sleep. Get a little scared. Hungry. Tired. Oh, I don't even know who he is. 50 days later, Peter experiences the power of God in the same city. And revival breaks out. It was a church launch of about 120 people. And they're having this like ongoing prayer meeting. You ever been so desperate that you're like, I'm shutting the door and I ain't coming out until there's a breakthrough? That's what they were. And the Bible says the Holy Spirit was poured out. And signs and wonders start happening. They begin to speak in other tongues. And there was like fire and wind and just a dramatic demonstration. It caught the attention of the people, right? Now the ones yelling for Barabbas are making fun of him. Peter, same guy, stands up, says, hold on, this isn't what you suppose. They're not drunk. It's just morning time. He preaches a gospel message and he says, therefore, Acts 2:36, let all of Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah. So I don't know if, I mean, that's not leading into it with a soft touch, is it? Y'all are the ones who did this. You called for his crucifixion. The Lord has made him Messiah. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, brothers, what do we do now? Peter says, repent and be baptized. Repent and be baptized. Repent and be baptized. Every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the forgiveness of your sins, you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off. For all whom the Lord will call. And with many other words, he warned them, pleaded with them, save yourself from this corrupt generation. And those who accepted his message that day were about 3,000. They were one resurrection away from breakthrough. They were one resurrection away from breaking free. They were one resurrection away from deception. They were one resurrection away from power. Jesus came to die for the harassed and the helpless. And today's your day. Today's the day of your salvation. Today's the day to swap spirits. Maybe you came in not serving Christ. Maybe you came in with no resurrection power. Maybe you came in not submitting your life to Christ. Maybe you came in not loving God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. But today you're going to leave a different person. Today, grace is available to you because Jesus died for the harassed and helpless. Now, I got a little reminder for you to help you remember this. In every other seat seam. There's a little figurine. I want you to reach down and grab it. It's in the seam of the seat, the crack of the seat. Reach down in the crack of the seat, grab you a little Jesus. Reach down, you got him? Little Jesus? You got little Jesus? Some of you got white Jesuses, some of you got brown Jesuses. You got both. If you got an extra one, toss it to someone who don't have one. You want your little Jesus. Now, look. This is not a good luck charm. This is not, you don't light incense and bow. This is just, look. This is just a reminder that Jesus loves you. It's just a reminder that he has grace for you. It's just a reminder. So listen, you're not going to put it on the dashboard and this little rubber thing is going to protect you from wrecks. You're not going to put it on your kid's pillow and pray they're none of that, right? It's just a reminder. But listen, a powerful reminder that Jesus came for the harassed and the helpless. That Jesus came for those who are weak. And Jesus loves you today. He has a plan for your life. Plan to give you hope and a future. Jesus died for the harassed and helpless. Jesus died, thirdly, for mockers. They call for Jesus' crucifixion, right? So the Romans sent him away to the enforcers. There were those in the ranks of the Roman centurions that were trained experts in intimidation and torture. For a living, they did this, and they were excellent at their job. Matthew 27:27 says this, "Then the governor's soldiers took Jesus into the praetorium and gathered the whole company of soldiers around him. They stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him, then twisted together a crown of thorns and set it on his head. They put a staff in his right hand. And they knelt in front of him and they mocked him. Hail, King of the Jews. They spit on him, took the staff out of his hand and struck him with it on the head again and again. After that, after they had mocked him, they took off the robe and put on his own clothes on him. They led him away to be crucified." Horrific scene. Mel Gibson made a 2-hour movie out of it. Horrific scene. The preparations for the scourging are carried out. Jesus is stripped of his clothing. His hands are tied to a post. They stretch him out. His hands above his head, so that the flesh of his shoulders and his back are stretched to the limit. When his back is stretched out, the Roman legionnaire steps forward with a cat of nine tails, a whip with nine strands on it, with stones and bone and glass and sharp rocks tied into it. It's a torture device. The heavy whip is brought down with full force again and again and again on the back, the shoulders and buttocks and lower legs of Jesus. He's just cut wide open. Many times, the little balls on the end of the whip would break the ribs of the one being tortured. This didn't happen to Christ. No bone in his body was broken, but that's the force. They continue to go deeper and deeper and deeper, ripping away flesh into the muscle. Eventually, the skin on his back hangs like ribbons. He's an unrecognizable mess, a bleeding tissue. When the whip would go across his back, it would plant into the open flesh and be pulled. With each lash, the damage would be exponentially increased. When the centurion in charge felt like They were just close to death. They pulled half-fainted Jesus up. Then they said, look at him. Look at this king of the Jews. So they got a robe for him and dressed him up like a king. They put a staff in his hand, right? Grabbed a stick. Then they needed a crown. So someone ran and got a vine and some sticks, and they wrapped it up, and it was full of thorns. And they put it on his head. Now his royal robe that's on his back is being soaked with blood. They mock him, take the staff out of his hand, and beat him in the head, causing the thorns to go deeper and deeper. You ever taken a Band-Aid off of a scab the wrong way? That's exactly what happened when they stripped that robe right off of him and sent him away to be crucified. They brought him to a hill, put him on a cross, and physically attached Jesus to the wood with nails. His hands and feet. They put a sign above his head. Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews. In three languages. So all could read it. Hebrew, Latin, and Greek. They could all read it. Here he is, the King of the Jews. They're mocking him. Was it that Jesus was that weak? Or was it something else? Was it that he had submitted his entire life to the will of the Father? He seems in that moment the weakest of the weak. And Rome was going to demonstrate who is in charge. And the Jewish leaders sat back and went, now we took care of that. But I was reminded of words that Jesus spoke in Matthew 26. In verse 53 and 54, he says, don't you know? Do you think I cannot call my Father and he will at once put at my disposal more than 12 legions of angels? But how would the scriptures be fulfilled that say it must happen this way? Friend, what you are experiencing is not a weak man, but a powerful man. A powerful man that knows what his calling is, knows that he's the sacrificial lamb, knows that it is his shed blood that will be used for the remission of sins. And instead of wielding his power against the puny power of Rome, he says, I will submit to the will of the Father so that the very ones who are mocking me will have a chance at grace. Friend, that's powerful. You want to know power? That's power. Jesus died for those who are mockers. I think it's significant that the first New Testament convert is a Roman centurion. Jesus says, he cries out in a loud voice. He gives up his spirit. He dies. At that moment, listen, the curtain in the temple tears in two, top to bottom. The earth shook. The rocks split. Tombs broken open. Bodies of many holy people were raised to life. Power goes out. that came out of the tombs. Matthew 27, the same guys, right? Mocking and beating, sees this. Here's what Matthew records. Verse 50, when the centurion and those with him who were guarding Jesus saw the earthquake, he's looking back and he sees Jesus yell out. He breathes his last, drops his head. The Romans know he's dead. Earthquake, things start happening. Skies darken. This guy may be a savage, but he's not stupid. And he goes, oh. Surely, he was the Son of God. Grace, grace, grace. You might think, I've done too much. I've gone too far. I've done, if you knew what I did, oh man, if you knew my past, can I tell you? If the Roman centurion can get saved at the foot of the cross that in which he just killed Christ, anybody can get saved. God has a plan for you. He loves you. You haven't gone too far, but friend, you don't have much time left. The Bible says life is a vapor. Life is a vapor. Life is a vapor. We breathe our last and we're gone. Listen, I'm 55. Yesterday I was 20. The day before that I was 15. You know where I'm going. You think you life is a vapor, man. It's a vapor. You don't know if you will have this opportunity again. There's grace for you, friend. There's grace. He died for the mockers. He died for the mockers. The fourth thing, and here's where we land. Jesus died for life wasters. He died for those who wasted their life. My grandfather, both of them, wasted their lives until close to their deathbed. I'm not advocating for that. I'm not telling you should follow in their footsteps. It was the grace of God that spared them. My mom's father got water baptized when he was like 86 years old in Baxley, Georgia. Got baptized, he's 80-something, man. You're never too far gone for Jesus. You're never too far gone for Jesus. You're never too far gone. Jesus died for life wasters. He's died for those who've blown it. You've blown it, man. You've made so many mistakes. You made a mess of your life. Jesus died for life wasters. So there he is on the cross hanging. The Bible says he's not the only one hanging that day. He's not the only one on a cross. Did you know that? Maybe you've seen the art, like the artist's rendition. There's like three crosses a lot of times, right? There was three people. Three were receiving the same sentence that day. Oh, the Romans love to do this, and they love to publicly do it. So Jesus is in the middle, and there's a thief on the right and a thief on the left. Now, I'm not advocating for the death penalty for a thief, but that's one way to stop crime. I mean, I just, wow, don't steal nothing. That's going to be you, brother. These guys are hanging. They're arguing with each other. One of the guys is slandering Jesus. Like you would think, bro, like you got minutes left, and you know it. Now is not the time. But when your spirit is seared, you can't see Jesus right in front of you. If you have this thought this morning that Jesus is the Messiah, it is because of the grace of God. It's the grace of God. It's the grace of God. So here's the scripture. Luke 23. One of the criminals hurled insults at him. Aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself in us. But the other criminal rebukes him. Rebukes the other criminal, right? Don't you fear God, he says. Like, man, we're dying here. Like, we ain't getting down. The next few hours are going to be horrific, and then you will die. Don't you fear God? Since you are under the same sentence, we are punished, he says, justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man, he has done nothing wrong. Then he said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Something happens in that moment. He didn't have time to walk an aisle. He didn't have time to get baptized. He didn't have time to join a church. He didn't have time to learn about the Ten Commandments. He didn't have the time to learn about the law of sin and death. He didn't have time to learn about justification by faith through grace. He didn't have none of that. Jesus says, truly I tell you, today you'll be with me in paradise. The grace of God is big enough to cover every sin you've ever committed. You are not too far gone. If you have the thought that Jesus is the Son of God, it is because of his grace. Don't be like the other thief. God is sending out a lifeline to you today. Today's your day of salvation. Here's what's going to happen in a few moments. We're going to have an opportunity for you to turn this thing around. We're going to have an opportunity for you to swap spirits. We're going to have an opportunity for you to follow Jesus. We're going to have an opportunity for you, look, check it out. This is such a great, to lay down your sin and your junk, say yes to Jesus, and the Bible said a miracle will happen. A miracle will happen. In other words, you will trade your sin and exchange it for grace and forgiveness because of Jesus' sacrifice. And that's available. So what we're going to do in a moment, we're going to land this thing, and we're all going to have an opportunity to get it right. Today's your day. Today's your day of redemption. Today's your day of salvation. Today's your day. I ran across a video, and if you were here 14 months ago in this room, you saw the same video, but it was so powerful, I pulled it out of the archives, and it's about this thief on the cross, and I just thought it was a great way to land this thing. Here's the grace of God.
Jesus, saying, aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself and save us. But the other criminal rebuked him. Don't you fear God? We are punished justly, for we're getting what we deserve, but this man, he's done nothing wrong. Then he turned and said to Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Jesus answered him, truly, I tell you today, you will be with me in paradise. Those are some of my favorite verses in all of the New Testament, and I think they should be some of your favorite verses too. Here's why. Because I think that's the most simple and clear picture we have of the free grace of God. The good thief had nothing to give to God. No church attendance, no church membership, no baptism, no communion, no tithing, no mission trips, no prayer meetings, no Bible studies. No time to go and make right all the wrongs he had committed. No time to figure out how to nuance some of the doctrines of the Christian faith, like justification by faith and the inerrancy of scriptures. No time to grow in holiness and sanctification. No time to impress anyone with anything. He had nothing to give to God. He is just a naked, dying, sinful man who can't even fold his hands to pray. But against all odds, that man walks into heaven in the same hour as Jesus. He walks into the kingdom of God with the King of Kings. I heard a pastor recently explain this story and what it could have been like. Now, I don't think it actually happened this way, but he says, just imagine what it would have been like for that thief to enter in to heaven. Suppose there are angels there greeting him, saying, now, who are you and how did you get here? And he says, I don't know exactly how I got here. They say, well, are you a Christian? Well, what's a Christian? Do you believe in salvation by grace alone through faith alone? Well, I'm not sure. Well, do you at least believe in the full deity and humanity of Christ? Well, I'm not even sure what that means. Frustrated, the angels finally say, well, then on what basis are you here? And so the best that he could come up with is this. He says, the man on the middle cross said I could come. And that's the only answer anybody ever needs. The man on the middle cross said I could come. Jesus didn't die alone. He died next to a brother. He died next to a Christian. And the last day of that man's life turned out to be the best day of his life.
Here's what's going to happen. We're going to shove it in the devil's face. Some of you have been lied to, you've been deceived, you've mocked God's grace, you've rejected Christ, you have ignored his opportunity of forgiveness, you have rebelled against him, but the Bible says that now is a day of your salvation. Now is a day of grace. By what authority do I tell you what I tell you today? By the authority of the person and work of Jesus Christ and the Word of God. Today, you can be saved. Today, you can have your sins washed away from you. Today, you can walk into heaven like the thief did when you die because the man in the middle said you could come. And the thing that you need to do right now is surrender. Oh, God, give us mercy. Oh, God, give us grace. Oh, God, help us. Oh, God, help us. Would you bow your head and close your eyes? The Holy Spirit has set this moment up for you. Today's your day, man. Today's your day. Today's your day. You got up this morning for this moment. God has spared your life up until now for this moment. Today's your day, buddy. Today's your day, sweetheart. Today's your day, mom. Today's your day, dad. Today's your day, young person. Today's your day, teenager. Today's your day, grandson. Today's your day, great-grandson. Today's your day, uncle. Today's your day, aunt. Today's your day, grandma. Granddad, today's your day. Now is the day of salvation. You're not joining a church. You're saying yes to him. The man in the middle said you could come. So here's what we're going to do. I'm going to pray for you. And I'm going to lead you to him today. And here's the awesome thing. We're going to plunder hell and populate heaven. And faith is rising up right now. If you have the thought that Jesus is the Son of God, it's because of the mercy and grace of God. He's been merciful to us today. Don't miss this opportunity on Easter 2025. Come on. With every head bowed and eye closed. Pastor, that's me. You're talking to me today. Today's my day. That's what I want. That's what I need. If you stood before God, He says, why should I let you into heaven? What would you be able to say? If you say, well, I've done more good than bad, the Bible says all sin and fall short of the glory of God. And the wages of sin is death. So the problem with that statement is you still got a sin issue. But thanks be to God. Jesus Christ, who was crucified, by the way, paid the penalty. And here's the great exchange. You can trade your sin for His grace through an act of faith. What you believe about Jesus is very important in this moment. Do you believe He's the Son of God? Confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord. If today you want to surrender your life to Christ, I'm going to pray right now. And today's your day. On the count of three, I'm going to count to three. When I get to three, I just want you to lift your hand as high as you can. Get my attention. That's you today, man. That's you on this Easter 2025. Oh, goodness. God, help us. He's so merciful. Man, some of you should be dead. You shouldn't even be here. But God, but God. Oh, thank you for your mercy, God. The count of three, wave at me, say, Tim, pray with me. That's what I need. I need to surrender my life to Christ today. One, two, three, all over the room. Yeah, I see you to my left. I see you. I see you in the middle. Yeah. I see you. I see you. Yeah, buddy. Are you waving at me? Yeah, come on. Don't be ashamed of the grace of God. It's the power of God unto salvation. Oh, it's a beautiful sight. Yes, 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 yes. Oh, He's so merciful. So merciful. So merciful. Maybe you say, I'm a Christian. I just haven't been acting like one. There's no fruit in my life. No one could tell. You say, maybe. I would, if I was asked, what are you? I'm a Christian. I just really haven't surrendered to Jesus, but today's your day. Come on, today's your day. What we're going to do right now is a beautiful thing. Together, we're going to pray. I'm going to help you pray. If you mean the words, it's as if you made them up yourself. God will see your heart. We're going to pray, and there's people all around you that are so excited about what's happening in this moment. They're going to pray too because they're just like, come on, yes, it's one of those things. So it's going to echo in this room. Today's your day. Pray this together out loud. Say, dear God, thank you for sending your Son Jesus to die on the cross for my sins. I confess that I'm a sinner, and I'm sorry. Forgive me, God. I also confess that Jesus is Lord. I believe He was crucified, buried, and raised from the dead. Forgive me, God. Strengthen me to follow You all the days of my life. I just tell Jesus you love Him. Say, I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. All the room, come on, I love you, Jesus. Come on, I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. All across the room, I want you to stand. I want you to stand all across the room.
We want to thank you for listening to the message today. We would love for you to stop by and see us. Our services start at 10 a.m. on Sundays and 7 p.m. on Wednesday nights. with various small groups throughout the week. Here at Life Church, we hope you have a great week.